Deuteronomy chapter 27. Moses and the elders of Israel commanded the people, saying, Keep all the commandments which I command you this day. On the day when you pass over the Jordan to the land which Yahweh your God gives you, you must set up great stones and plaster them with plaster, and write on them all the words of this law which you have passed over, that you may go into the land which Yahweh your God gives you, a land flowing with milk and honey. When you've passed over the Jordan, I command you this day that you will set up these stones in Mount Ebal and plaster them with plaster. There you shall build an altar to Yahweh of stones. You shall lift up no iron on them. You shall build the altar of Yahweh your God of uncut stones and offer burnt offerings to Yahweh your God and sacrifice peace offerings there and rejoice before Yahweh your God. You must write on the stones all the words of this law very plainly. Now they were to build altars of uncut stone and not lift up any iron on them. In fact, they are told elsewhere to build God altars of earth. So I think the idea is that God doesn't like fancy-pantsy ways of worshipping him. He wants us as we are, raw as we are. Not made out to look something other than we are. He's not interested in cosmetics. That is one thing you see with the God of Israel. You look at the structure and the design of the tabernacle and the sort of materials that were used. That was clear enough evidence that God was looking for something small, for something functional, for something, if you like, humble, and made from the heart of local material. When David and Solomon had this idea of a massive temple, although God sort of went along with it, that was not his intention. As he said to David, I have never asked anyone to build me a house, ever. I am actually quite happy in traveling around under a tent, and I don't want all this stuff. I want to build you a house of people. And it's the same with these commands about the altar, that it should be made of uncut stone, with no iron lifted up upon it. This shows, I think, how God will accept sacrifice on the basis of, or upon the altar of, the way that we are just as we are, uncut stones who have not been beautifully sculptured or anything like that. And I do rather like that, and I think it's an important principle. And really, true spirituality and the true Church of God is very small and without any bling and just as is. And I think that needs to be borne in mind in our days of huge, vast churches with all the latest technology and all the latest luxury. This, in my opinion, is very far from the real spirit of how God has operated in the Bible times. So they were to write on these stones the words of the law very plainly. Moses and the priests and Levites spoke to all Israel, saying, Keep silence and listen, Israel. This day you have become the people of Yahweh your God. You must therefore obey the voice of Yahweh and do his commandments which I command you this day. Well, we saw in chapter 26 that God had made undertakings to them to be their God, and they had made undertakings to him. They had entered into a marriage covenant. And this was why it was so awful, when they broke it by going off with the gods of the nations and making agreements with those nations and their gods, etc. So Moses commanded the people that same day, saying, There shall stand on Mount Gerizim to bless the people when you've passed over Jordan, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin. And the other tribes were to stand, I guess, representatives of the tribes. They shall stand on Mount Ebal to pronounce the curse. And the Levites will tell all the people of Israel with a loud voice, Cursed is the man who makes a molten image, which is an abomination to Yahweh, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and secretly sets it up. All the people shall answer and say, Amen. So there were these two mountains, or hills really, with a valley in between, and the Levites pronounced the curses, and the people on the one, the curse mountain, said yes, and they read out the curse, and the people said amen, and the people on the blessing mountain read out the blessings, and the people said amen. If you look at all the things that are cursed, They are all secret sins. So that first one, cursed is the man who makes a molten image, etc., and secretly sets it up. So cursed is the person who has a secret idol. Cursed is he who dishonors his father or his mother. All the people shall say, Amen. Well, again, cursing parents is often done in the heart, in the thoughts. It's again a secret sin. Cursed is he who removes his neighbor's landmark. All the people will say, Amen. Now, typically, landmarks are shifted when people think the other guy doesn't notice, or he's not aware, or maybe he's blind or old and he doesn't quite notice. Or just little bit by bit, little bit, eating into his territory. Cursed is he who makes the blind wander out of the way. All the people shall say, Amen. Well, of course, the poor blind person isn't going to know. Cursed is he who deprives the foreigner, fatherless, and widow of justice. All the people shall say, Amen. Again, a secret sin, because the foreigner, fatherless, and widow might not realize that they were not being dealt with justice, because they themselves were so marginal, they maybe weren't present in a courtroom where a situation was being discussed, or they just wouldn't be aware, so you could get away with abusing them. Cursed is he who lies with his father's wife. And all the people shall say, Amen. Well, I expect the man who thought of doing that would have thought of doing it privately when nobody could see. And again, cursed is he who lies with any kind of animal or with his sister or other close relatives. And all the people are to say, Amen. Because again, these were all secret sins done within the family. Cursed is he who strikes his neighbor in secret. All the people will say, Amen. Cursed is he who takes a bribe. All the people will say, Amen. So again, these are all secret sins. That is what is so significant. God is warning them that I particularly notice secret sins, and now as you begin this relationship with me, I want you to understand that you're in covenant with me, and I'm the God who sees and knows all things. I am very sensitive to secret sins. Cursed is he who doesn't confirm this law and all the curses in this law to do them, and all the people shall say, Amen. Well, they had to agree that this was indeed the case, and who could disagree? Surely, God knows all things. He has amazing knowledge, vast and great. He really, really does. So that secret sins just don't make sense. There is no such thing as a secret sin when you're in relationship with God.